His presence is here. And as Pastor Naomi was talking about pastors, this came to my mind. Every pastor has a family. And my wife is her father used to be a pastor, so I know how the family, right? Because this is not only a calling for the pastor. There is a family behind them. There is a backbone at home, right? When that man goes out to preach, to teach, to visit, there is a mother taking care of those children, right? There is a mother doing homework. And if it is both of them who have to go out, they usually have those kids, the older ones, taking care of the youngest ones. So before I even go any further, I want to ask all the pastors and their families to stand up. I don't care your son, all of them. And you know what? We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you because the families have to suffer with that pastor. They enjoy with that pastor. Gabriel, get up. And pastors, get every pastor and their families. I want them up. And I want all of you to see them, okay? Because Pastor Josue, Brother Josue, stand up. I want to make sure that I'm not missing anyone. Rachel, where's Eden? Eden is right there. Okay, so we celebrate the families today. We celebrate each and every single one of you. We celebrate the woman that is staying behind. We celebrate the kids that have to share their fathers, right? We celebrate the husbands that have to share their wives and vice versa. And I want to ask the congregation to stand up, and we're just going to pray for the families. We're going to ask that God gives them the strength that they need to continue, right? That they might not be able to show when they're going through rough times because of the spouse that they have, because they have to be the strength for them. But we want to let you guys know that you're not fighting alone, that we're praying for you, that this is our fight. Your family fight is our fight, okay? You will never be forsaken and you will never be abandoned. First of all, God is with you, and God has uplifted all these warriors who are committed today to say, you're never alone, and we're with you, and we'll never forsake you. So let's just lift up a prayer for the families of this pastor. Heavenly Father, we come before you, oh God. First of all, giving you glory and giving you thanks, and at the same time, asking you for these families, oh Lord. You know everything that they're going through. You know the sacrifices that they have to make, oh Lord. You know all the things, oh Lord, that comes into their heart, the tribulations, the hard decisions that they have to make, oh Lord. And we ask that today you'll be with them. We ask that today you give them the strength that they need to continue. That you help them, oh Lord. That you let them see that everything that they're doing is not in vain, oh Lord. That though they might not see a reward here, they will see one in heaven, oh Lord. And we're thankful for them. We're thankful because they answered the call. They embraced the call. They said, I will go if you're leading. And for that, we're thankful. We're thankful for their wives. We're thankful for their husband. We're thankful for their children. We're thankful for everything that they do that we don't get to see. Because we only see the final product. We only see the finished product. We don't see what goes behind doors. We don't see the sacrifices that they made. We don't see everything that they have to go through, oh Lord. But today and forever, we'll be thankful for their lives. We'll be thankful for everything that they have done. And we're committing today, oh Lord, to add them to our prayers, to have them in our minds, to respect them, to pray for them, and to be there with them. And to always let them know that they're never forgotten, that they're never forsaken, and that you and us will always be there with them, oh Lord. We ask for this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. It's an honor. Oh, we gotta collect the offering. No? Yes? No? Later. Okay. It's truly an honor to be here today. When they called me, I thought they had the wrong number. I'm like, you sure? Do you know who you're talking to? You sure you want me to do this? I was like, yeah. So I'm like, okay. It's nerve-wracking. It's never easy, right? It's never easy. But how can you say no to celebrate all these men and all these women, right? I haven't been in ECC for long. I think we've been here for 5 years. We came in March of 2015. And in 5 years, I have grown to love each and every single one of the members, my pastors. In one way or another, they have impacted my life and my family's life, right? My daughter told me on Friday. She said, oh, my God, I love Pastor so much. He's like the best pastor ever. And I'm like, I know that. You don't have to tell me that. But I'm sure that's how all of us feel, right? Towards everyone, all of them. No, Pastor Carlos, Pastor Becky, Pastor Damaris, Pastor Hector, Pastor Ruth, Pastor Robert, Pastor Rosa, George, Pastor Arlene, Pastor George, Pastor Minor, Pastor Yesenia, Pastor Naomi, Pastor Tony, Pastor Marilyn, Pastor Victor, Pastor Bruni, and I don't see myself, our brother, Pastor Josue, Pastor Kingsley, Pastor Abby too. So we're grateful for them, right? So I would like to talk to you today, and I asked several people, can you describe Pastor Carlos to me in one sentence? All of them told me, oh, that's a tough assignment, man. One sentence? How long can it be? Can it be like a book type? And I'm like, no, simple. One sentence. And then I thought about it myself. Wow, if somebody was to ask me to describe Pastor in one sentence, I think, I'm sorry, I decline. I cannot do it. My conscience will not let me do it. You got to give me more than one. So today I would like to speak to you about those sentences that I was given and how I can relate to each and every single one of them and how you, I'm pretty sure, can relate to them, because we all have seen one side or another, or our pastor, his family, and all the pastors that are here. And you don't have to stand up, but you can look in your Bibles in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And when everybody has it, if they can let me know with an amen. Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. Everybody has it? Amen. We lead the word in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Today we celebrate a man who understands what God requires of him. A man who acts justly, a man who loves mercy, and a man who walks humbly. A man who is after God's heart and whose life reflects Christ's love and passion for his people. Pastor Carlo married Sarah and I back in 2002. 13 years later in 2015, we were going through a transition. We were leaving our old church. We were going to a new church. And we visited an American church. And though it was lovely, it just didn't feel like home. My wife always said, we needed that little bit of sazon, you know, just that little bit. Just needed just enough. Because we grew up in an old school Pentecostal church, right? So we didn't want to be in that old school Pentecostal church, but we didn't want to get out of it completely. So we came and we spoke to our pastor in March. And I will never forget what he said, right? He told me, listen, come and see how it all goes. I hope and pray that you guys stay. But if you don't, and this is only another temporary home, rejoice and trust in the Lord. We never felt the pressure to stay. I'm not sure about Sarah, but at that moment, I knew this was going to be my home. In less than an hour, in one simple meeting, my heart was troubled. I didn't know what to do. I am the head of the household. I was thinking whatever decision I made is going to affect my wife and my kids. So I had no confidence whatsoever. But that man right there in that hour, he just made me feel peace. He just made me feel that this is the place where God wants you to be right now. This is the place where God wants you to be right now. And he did it all guided by the Holy Spirit. And that is the kind of man that we celebrate today. The man who understands that everything that he does and everything that he has is given by the Holy Spirit. And not only him, the family, all the pastor. And if I just say pastor, I'm talking about all the pastors that are here. Because for me, all of you are the same. One way or another, I have spoken to you. You have impacted my life. I'm different. I'm better. My family is better because of you. I'm in a different place because of you. I'm a better Christian because of you. I know that the Lord saved me, and he will never forsake me because of you. I know that I'm loved, okay? I know that I'm never alone. I know that even when I'm walking in the valley of the shadow, there is always someone praying for me. There's a group of people that haven't given up on me. That even when I give up on me, there are others that say, I'm not giving up on you. And that's what we celebrate today. But in that one simple hour, in that one simple meeting, I knew this was going to be the place where I was going to grow up. Where my kids were going to grow up and hopefully stay for the rest of our lives, unless God has some other plan. And like I said, I asked 7 or 8 people to describe Pastor Carlos in one sentence. The first one was our pastor, Becky, right? So I asked Pastor Becky. She was one of the ones who told me, one sentence? That's tough, but I'm going to try to do my best. And then she said, oh, that's a long, run sentence, because it was kind of long, which I expected it, right? So yeah, of course she's going to give me like a long, run sentence. And her sentence was, he's definitely very loving, helpful with all things in our lives, and so much fun to be with. He's the hero of my story. I hadn't shared this with Sarah, but I hope that she's taking some notes, and hopefully one day she'll be able to say this, right? No, she's not here today. She threw her back, so she's at home. She's watching live stream, but now learn, okay? Learn from your pastor. She's a very wise woman. So when in... A few things to point out, right, in that sentence. Loving, he takes care of others and seeks their well-being. Helpful, he assists without being asked. Fun, he understands that our lives is in Christ's hands and we have to enjoy the good times. Hero, he's someone who puts his life in danger to protect others. When we follow God's plan in our life, it's reflected in our marriage life. And we can love, we can help, we can be fun, and we can be the heroes of the story. And you know why that is possible? Because we're following the one true hero. We are a reflection of the man that he wants us to be as a husband to our wives. And because we're following the steps of the ultimate hero, we can do these things. The one that has all the power, the one that has given us the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's nothing simple. It's just not a little thing. What God had entrusted you, the Holy Spirit, the source of all power, that is what you have. That is what he has. That is what that marriage has. And it's good to know that we see it in that marriage. We see it in this marriage. We see it in this marriage. We see it in all these marriages because it gives us hopes. If he's doing it for them, he could definitely do it for us. If he's trusting them, and if it's taking them from glory to glory through the ups and downs, through when everything is fun, but when everything is not that fun, and if it's doing it for them, he could surely do it for me and Sarah. Because that is the God that we serve. And the Bible says, husband, love your wife, Jesus Christ, love the church, and give himself up for her. He also said, that's in Ephesians 5:25. Ephesians 5:28 says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. We see in Pastor Carlos a man who embodies these verses and makes them part of his relationship with Pastor Becky. Take a page from his book and be the husband that God called us to be. A reflection of the love that Christ has for his church. If you don't know how to love your wife, read the Bible. If you still need help, look at all these pastors' relationships with their spouses. They're giving you a book. They're giving you a sight. They're giving you an insight on how are we supposed to be husbands to our wives. How we're supposed to give them the priority. Okay? How we're supposed to treat them like Christ treats the church. That's what God wants. That's the kind of man that I see today. And today we celebrate a marriage centered in Christ. Two people pursuing the plan that Christ has for them. It is said that right to right next to every successful man. And the old school, they used to say behind. Now we say next. Okay, if you still think that is behind, you're like 30, 40, 50 years behind times right now. And it's time to get yourself updated, okay, to the new, okay, respectful, in a respectful way, okay, obviously. But right next to every man, there is a successful woman. I call Sarah my CEO. And they tell me why, because she's my chief encourager officer. She knows what I'm down. She knows what I have to hear. She comes to me and she tells me. See, that's the beauty of a wife. That they know things that nobody else know. They can just look at you and you're like, what happened? I'm okay. What happened? I'm okay. And they just drill you and drill you and drill you. It took me a while to understand, you know what? I have to admit it after the third, how are you? Because it doesn't matter how long I want to hold off. I still have to let her know. And why wouldn't I let her know? That's the person that God has put right next to me. That's the one that knows me for who I am. That's the one that knows me in a way that only God knows me. That's the only one that knows when I'm struggling. The one that knows me at my highs and at my lows. And that's what I see in this marriage. I see a woman encouraging a man, letting him know you're not here alone. You're fighting. I'm fighting with you. We got this. And we have been blessed by the pastor's marriage and their example. And today, because of that, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you. Thank you for being real, for being honest, for being transparent, for letting us know that there will be ups, there will be downs. But in the midst of it, God would always be there. God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. And God would always be there for you. You want to know that God exists? You want to know that God is a God that helps you through the struggles? We're all going to have to struggle. You want to know that God will always have your back? You're going to have your back against the wall. The Christian life is not an easy life. But I got to tell you, some of these pastors make it look pretty easy. And you know why? Because they're centered in Christ. Because part of being centered in Christ is to let others know that, hey, we struggle just like you. And that's one of the best, that's one of the things that draw me the most to this church. The transparency of the people. People don't pretend to be what they're not. They let you know, I'm struggling. I'm just like you. This is like the theme that they have, a bunch of imperfect people following a perfect God. To say, we're nothing but a hospital. You think you're good? You think that you don't need any help? Don't even come through those doors. We're a bunch of sick people looking for healing from the one that can do it all. And that's what I see. And I'm grateful for them. Now, Pastor Carlos, the father. So Eden told me, my dad is ultimately my hero, the best man I know. Evie, take notes. And Caleb, too. Rachel told me he is supportive, protective, and caring. Who wouldn't want their kids to have that concept of them? I mean, when she said, the best man I know, my ultimate hero, and Rachel to say he's supportive, protective, and caring, the ultimately my hero. As a father, we're called to be our kids' greatest heroes. Their number one call when they get in trouble. If your kid can call you when he's in real trouble, you have done your job. If they're afraid to call you when they are in trouble, we need to be better parents. Because that means that they can trust you they can let you see when they make mistakes. And as parents, we got to let our kids know that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to get it wrong every now and then. I tell my kids the life that I used to live when I was back out of the church. I let them know how messed up my life was. I don't want them to think, oh, you have always been like this. No, it was a process. And even now, I struggle. But it impacted me what these two girls said. The best men I know, an example to follow and a life to imitate. That's what we're called to be to our children. That's what these people are doing. That's what our pastors are doing to their kids. To set the bar high. As a father, I treat my daughter like a princess. Because if someone is going to get anywhere near her, that person got to treat her better than I do. Okay? Because if somebody comes and don't treat her the way that I treat her, she won't even pay attention to that man. She'll be like, next one. You're not good enough for me. And that's what we're called to be as parents. to our daughters, to our sons, to let them know that they're valuable, that they're important, that they're never alone, that we're with them. When they're striving, we're there, graceful, we're there, happy with them. When they're struggling and they fall, we're there to pick them up. Our love never changes. They can be who they are with us. If my kids can be who they are with me, I'm a jacked up father. I'm not doing the one ministry that I'm supposed to be doing. I'm leaving my things at home. And I'm not saying, and this is, I want to be careful here. And I always tell people, I have three sisters. It's four of us. We all receive the same instructions in church, right? We all hear from the, we all heard from the same preachers, Sunday school, pastors. Three of them are not, the three, my three sisters are not serving God. I'm serving God by the grace of God. So does that mean that they didn't get the same instructions that I got? No. It just means that a decision time came to my life, to our lives, and we all had to take a path. We all had to make a decision. Am I going to do this for me, or am I going to do it because my mommy and my daddy are calling us? So I'm not saying that when we do it, it's a guarantee, but they do have a pretty better chance. They have a better chance to follow in God's steps when we instruct them in the Lord, when we instruct them in the Lord ways. I deviated for the Lord ways, but I will never forget what my grandmother used to tell me. I will never forget the word that I used to hear at home, because I had people preaching to me. I had people supportive. I had people that were supporting me. Supportive, like Rachel says, providing encouragement or emotional help. This is only possible with our ultimate hero, our supporter, and the best man we know is Christ. When we're determined to follow the plan God has for us. You want to impact your family? You got to follow the plan that God has for you. You want to make sure that your family, it's a bless? You got to follow his lead. Because when we follow his lead, our kids are going to follow. Our kids are going to see, I want to be like mommy. We need to present our kids with an opportunity, with a chance of them to say, you know what? I want to have the marriage that my parents have. I want to be the dad that my dad. I want a father like my father. I want to be a mother like my mother. And that's what we celebrate today. Men and women who have answered the calling, who had said, I will do the best I can, and I will follow the one who will call me. That's our Pastor Carlos as a father. And the Bible says, every good and perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who doesn't change like shifting shadows. James 1:17. Psalms 103:13 says, as a father has compassion of his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The blueprint is there. The handbook was given. Let us be our daughter's first love and our son's first hero. Let us be the refuge in the moments and the difficult moments and their shelter in the storms. Let them see a glimpse of what God is as a father. If they can see, if this is my father in his human condition and he can treat me like this, how much better can the father in heaven can do it for me? And we don't realize how simple decisions with our children can let them see God for who he truly is. And I'm there. I'm not a perfect dad. And when I was preparing all these things, I found myself with a lot of things that I need to do. A lot of things. I wish and I hope that if somebody was to ask all of these people that I asked, or certain people that are in my life, to describe me in one sentence, that I could come 70% close to what they told me about this man. Because then I will know that I'm doing something right. So I didn't know why me, but after I was going through all of this, I'm like, well, God needed to get my attention. There are things that you need to do. But that's what God is. That is the kind of man that we celebrate today. One who's fathering like the Father opened heaven. There are many in here who have received a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of encouragement for our pastors. And for that, I want to say on behalf of the church, thank you. Thank you for taking the time. For taking that time to minister to us, right? To sacrifice, to leave other things just to spend that time with us. And though we don't express it often, know that we appreciate you, we love you, and we're always there for you. and you are in our prayers, and your battle is our battle. I also asked Victor to check with Pastor Carlos or with their parents to describe him as a son. I'm like, okay, now we're going to see. Now we're going to see how Pastor truly is. Now just let's see what his parents had to say. And they said he's very wise, thoughtful, caring, and loving son. It's like I had a checkbox, and I'm like, oh, this is check. He meets this. This is check. This is check. It's like everything, check. I'm like, it doesn't get any better than this. Wise, he has the power of discerning and judging properly as to what is true and what is right. That's what our pastor is. Thoughtful, he shows consideration for others. He puts others before himself. Caring, he feels or shows care and compassion. That's the man that we serve today. That's the man that we celebrate today. A man that has a wisdom given to him from above, the ability to treat others the same way he wants to be treated, the compassion he feels and expresses through his action. If we can see the interaction with him and his parents, his in-laws, we can see that love, that genuinely love that he has. And it's good because that caring, we can see that good, caring, wiseful, and thoughtful son who doesn't keep it all within the family, but extends it to us, his flock. He doesn't treat anybody. I haven't seen this man or any of our pastor treating one person different than others. I see them loving everyone. I see them loving the people of God. I see them expressing that love for God. And that is the man that we're celebrating today. That is the pastors and the wives, the families that we're celebrating today. The Bible says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, James 3:17. I dare to say, is there anyone in Elohim cannot say that any of our pastors don't meet this, don't fulfill this, that they have deviated from this, and they're not perfect. I'm not here to put them in a pedestal and saying that they're perfect, because the moment that I think that, then there's something wrong with me. There's absolutely something wrong with me. But we do appreciate them for who they are. We know that they're not perfect, but we know that they're trying their best. We know that they're transparent. That's like, it's the one thing that I always think about the pastors in here, transparent. Like, they have that transparency, that genuinely love for others. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, Colossians 3:20. Before us today, we have a man who has dedicated his life to be a good son to our Father in heaven and is reflected to his parents in earth. You can't tell me, oh, I love my Father in heaven, but you don't respect your parents. That just doesn't work. It just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. Right? I always tell my daughter, going back again, I'm drilling my daughter with marriage now that she's getting older. I'm like, listen, if you see a mother struggling with three backs and you see their son on their phone and there's not helping, run away from that. You don't want any of that. If that kid doesn't help his mother, believe me, he ain't going to help you when you're walking with three backs or four backs. I always drill her. I'm like, listen, I got to set the bar high. She has to know. It can't be just anybody. I'm like, I have taken care of you for many, many years just to give you away to just anybody. Heck no. I'll make sure I'm going to vet that person. I'm going to tell Victor, yo, Victor, find out. Like, this is Social Security. Look, tell me who he is. Has any prior? Tell me. Because he's not getting that blessing until I know that he's worth it. Until I know that he's worth it. And that's our job. That's what we have to do, right? So, and we can see, right? And I'm sure that many of us have experienced that love of a son towards a father or towards a mother by talking to any of these pastors. Because there are older people that maybe they don't have their family right here, but they have come to our pastors and they have felt that love from a pastor, that love of a son, right? That simple hug. That simple, I love you and I'm with you. Something so simple, right? Something so that we think it has no meaning. But a simple I love you to somebody who's alone goes a long way. Because you don't know what that person was thinking throughout the day. You don't know if that person was praying and saying, God, I feel alone. God, I feel like I have nobody. I look around and I see families, but I don't see anybody for me. But then a man or a woman of God goes to that person and tells her, you know that I love you and that you're important to me. You know that I'm walking with you. You know that you'll never be alone, that I'm always going to be there for you. And that's what this man, that's what these pastors are for each and every single one of us. Now we're going to talk about Pastor Carlos, the brother from Victor. I asked Victor. So Victor said, my brother is a man who loves his family, and that love carries forth to those he serves as pastor. Let's pay close attention to this sentence. It just blew my mind, right? Because as I was meditating, I was thinking, it's not a love that shrinks or limits, right? Because it's so easy to love those that are around us. But it's a love that extends to everybody that is outside his circle, right? That's the essence of Christ's love. To love those that are not always so easy to love. To love those that are always around you. To understand that that is the calling that each and every single one of us have for our lives. We don't pick and choose who's worthy of the gospel. We don't pick and choose who am I going to spend time with. We are called to be the same with everyone. To extend that love. To extend that caring. And that's what I see in these pastors. I see people that extend their love to each and every single one of us, who never say no when we have a need, when we need a phone call to minister, when we need help to do something. They never say no, right? And it's not easy. We see a final product in here. We see Pastor Kinsley. We see Pastor Naomi. We see them in here praising and worshiping, but we don't know how many hours they have to practice to be here. We don't know how many hours they have to leave their family at home. And they could be having dinner with their kids, but they're here. And you know what they do it? Not because of a title. They do it because of the love that they have for you. They do it because they know that they have a dedication. They know it because they know that they have a calling, and that calling has to be done with quality and love and dedication. That's the kind of pastors that we have today. So as a Royal Ranger, our golden rule is do unto others what you will have them do to you. Matthew 7:12, right? And that's what I see in my pastor. He treats others the same way he wants to be treated. He loves you so you can love him back, okay? He loves you, or he's there for you, because you know what? As mighty as we think that pastors are, and they are, they will need someone. They're all going to pass through difficult moments. So they're all going to need. If God ever puts in your heart to send a text to a pastor or to any member, don't ever hold back. Don't ever hold back. I have witnessed when I have sent a text to someone and they have told me, bro, you don't know how much this text means for me. I was going through I had such a horrible day today, but your text made my day. And the same way with me. I have had days that I'm like, oh my God, is it really worth living right now? It's such a mess right now. I can't deal with everything that is going on. Then a text comes, someone letting me know, you know what? God is fighting for you. God is not done with you yet. God still has a plan for you. And that's what a brother does. And that's a brother like Pastor Carlos. And the Bible says a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Now we're going to talk about Pastor Carlos, the ministry partner. Someone told me he's a mentor, right? Pastor Kinsley. Throw him under the bus. Pastor Kinsley told me he's a mentor. Sarah was like, don't be saying the names of the person. Now I'm going to get in trouble at home. So now I threw her under the bus. But Pastor Kinsley is like, he's a mentor, right? So a friend, he's a mentor. Benjamin Franklin said, tell me and I will forget. Teach me and I might remember. Involve me and I will learn. And that's what we had with our pastor. He involved us in the ministry. If he's always pushing you to get involved in something, it's because, oh my God, I just need help. Believe me, if you don't help, somebody else is going to help. He just wants to extend the blessing to you. So don't be thinking, oh, I'm just needed. If I don't do it, nobody else can do it. Listen, the church was funded 2,000 years ago, and it'll still be funded if you don't answer your call or not. But be glad that the pastor has extended that invitation to you, that he's letting you, that he wants you to be part of it. and the time is running. So pastor number six, Pastor Carlos, the boss, right? Pastor Carlos, the boss. So Sister Jamie told me he is kind and generous, someone who knows how to work as a team and loves what he does. He displays what he wants to see in others. He has the ability to mentor and motivate those around him. He passes on to others the love that he receives from Christ. He's not commanding from behind the desk, but working the field with us all. He invests in us with love and dedication. And 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing. As God wants you to be. No pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. No lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. That's what this man is. That's what all our pastors are. Pastor number seven, Pastor Carlos, the pastor, as hermano Alberto. So he said, he's always where the need warrants it. Kind of at the right time, the right place at the right time. And we're not talking about someone who's there by coincidence because he didn't have any other place to be. We're talking about someone who's praying to the Holy Spirit to guide him where the need is. So whenever he comes to you as an answer to a prayer, be grateful, because before you were praying, he was praying so he can be taken to you. When you were asking, I need someone to help him, to help me, that man was in his knees saying, guide me to someone who needs help. Take me to where the need is. And it's not an easy call. It's not an easy call. And I want to say, I asked Pastor Carlos Beltré to describe him as a friend. And he was late at the party, so I couldn't tell him to show him his version. So he gave me like a whole paragraph. I'm not going to add anything to it. I'm just going to read it just as he sent it to me. Because if I do anything to it, I'm going to mess it up. So I'm just going to read what he says. Whoever brings blessings will be enriched, and who he waters will himself be watered. This verse encapsulates who you are and my prayer and wishes for you today and the rest of your life. Throughout so many stages in my life, I can recall you always being there to encourage me and push me forward. You motivated Xiomara and I to pursue a relationship, renew our marriage vows, mentor us through a challenging transition. And today, you're walking with us as we step into pastoral ministry. You have been my CEO. You bring blessings to everyone that crosses your path. You water and refresh those that are around you. Because of you, we are all better husbands, fathers, believers, ministers, and friends. So my prayer is that every morning, God may water and refresh you with the grace and anointing that flows from him. Love you, PC. And before I finish, Pastor Becky, thank you for sharing your husband with us. Eden, Rachel, and Emma, thank you for sharing your dad with us. Your parents, Pastor Carlos' parents, thank you for sharing your son with us. Victor, thank you for sharing your son with us. And I want to conclude with this. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at time of challenge and controversy. Martin Luther King. Our pastor has been measured, and he has been found a man full of love for others and committed to God's call and his people. God bless you all.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God. Amen. Let us rise to our feet this morning as we thank God this morning for our pastor, his family, all our associate pastors. We thank God for our church. Amen. So let us thank God by, as we sing this song, we're going to collect the offering and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being our Jehovah Jireh and our provider. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.